get on your bikes and ride.
Hot levels.
Hot levels. Hot levels, hot lava. Uh-oh.
Off to one heck of a start.
Boom, boom, boom. That's the sound of explosions. Ladies and gentlemen.
The time is 6:08 in the p.m. You are listening to KOOP Hornsby Austin 91.7 on your FM dial or online worldwide at koop.org. This is the Mascot Wedding Show, back for another Saturday. Radio's hour of unspeakable power. My name is David Hatta.
And my name is Mac Blake. This is the show where we open the phone lines to the community. Anytime you want to call in and be a part of today's conversation, feel free. Phone number is 497.
Nope.
Oh, that's my phone number.
See, that's why I'm here.
Yep, exactly. I would have done it too. Phone number is 472-5667. 472-K-O-O-P. Toll free. 1-888-917-5667. The opinions expressed on this show are just those of the people that said them, nobody else's. How's it going, David?
It's going boom. It's going boom because it's cold and wet outside, and I'm missing a football game. But other than that, I'm doing awesome.
What football game? The Battle Cattle?
That's right. Did you not hear the rattle?
I heard a mighty rattle coming up. What promises to be another boring game in a season of them.
Yeah, very underwhelming.
Yeah.
This exciting chase for the title.
Yeah, exactly. Go Longhorns, I guess.
Yeah, go.
I mean, look.
Keep going.
I went to the University of Texas.
I know you did.
But at this point, the way the season's going, I think I might be more excited if TCU got in there.
You know what? Kind of me, yeah, too.
Which I know someone's going to come in here and beat the orange blood right out of me.
How dare you?
Yep.
You gave them money and you can't show them respect. In addition to the rattle that we heard, we also heard some hot rock from their new album, Invisible Girl. That was the title track from King Khan and Barbecue Show. Good stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That sounded pretty good.
Yeah, it's awesome.
They were supposed to play Fun Fest, but their equipment got wet on the second day.
And so really?
They did not play, although supposedly they did a free show that night.
Oh, that's right. I did hear about that.
Like Red 7 or something, but Mackie was tired.
Aw. Yeah, and they were also supposed to play a show earlier this week, but they got arrested for possession.
So possession of what? Funk? Before that, off their self-titled album, The Crystal Castles, with Love and Caring. And Mackie had to get... Why am I referring to myself as Mackie a lot today?
Because it's adorable.
If we're doing the boom drinking game, by the way, I think you are five shots deep by now.
Can we do the Mackie drinking game?
That was Love and Caring, which I had to edit because it had some profanity in it.
Oh, so you took some Love and Caring in editing that title track.
Yes. I had to make it clean for the air because that's what the radio is about, keeping it clean. How are you, David? Give me the real answer this time. I already asked you.
Oh, I know. The real answer is I'm doing great. Kind of a rush to get show prep done. It was one of those things where I was like, I had plenty of time today. I'll make a new CD for the season. I'll do some research. I'll just kick back and relax. Next thing I know, it's like 5:30, and I haven't showered. And I'm like, oh, I've got a full evening ahead of me. I really should get on my horse.
Yeah, Saturday, that thing's just flying by these days.
Uh-huh.
I mean, like, I really, next thing I know, like, I had a lot of plans today. Did not get to a one.
Yeah.
Actually, that's not true. I finished The Prisoner.
Did you now?
Yes, which was on my TiVo.
Wait. Oh, The New Prisoner. He didn't finish like the four seasons of the old series, The Prisoner.
No, which was that? Was it called the same thing?
It was called called The Prisoner, with David McCallum and I forget who else.
So right? AMC, I don't know.
No, okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
AMC remade this or whatever. They did a revamp of it, or you know, new reimagining of that. Was it on the BBC?
Yes. Actually, you know what? I really don't know. I'm sorry.
Okay. Anyway, and I recorded it this week, pretty much based on, or the sole reason I did it, I should say, is because I've liked everything else that AMC has done, like all their like original shows.
Right.
Breaking Bad was good. Mad Men, of course, great. Even though they like made some movie with like Robert Duvall, like Lonesome Trail or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Guns of the Dudes.
Yeah.
Something.
Kicking Up Dust.
The Last Ride of the Dudes.
I hope nobody's writing these down.
Dude Fever. Bro on Dude Action.
Okay, now you're going to a different channel entirely.
All right.
That's Spike.
Yeah, sorry. But yeah, I watched it, and what confused me about it was a miniseries. And they aired it three nights in a row, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday of this last week.
Oh, okay.
And each episode was 2 hours long, each installment.
Mm-hmm.
And each installment clearly included two episodes.
Mm-hmm.
So I think when this thing was originally made, it was originally made to be six separate one-hour episodes. And I was kind of confused. I was like, why is AMC running this thing three nights in a row? It obviously costs them a lot of money. Wouldn't they be better served running like 1 hour on a Sunday for the next 6 weeks? Because that would give them more time to advertise and stuff.
Yeah.
It seems like this is a lot of money just to go bing, bang, bong, gone. Or, you know, if you want to do the two-hour chunks, maybe run it over 3 weeks or something like that.
Yeah, because Mad Men just ended, and so they need something to fill that Sunday night slot.
Yeah, and the first episode of The Prisoner did air in that Mad Men time.
Okay, see, that makes sense. Like when HBO, like when The Sopranos would end, they brought in another show, and you know that's how HBO kept the juggernaut going. Why doesn't AMC do the same?
That's right. Breaking Bad took over for that spot, and probably that patented Sunday night 9 Central 10 Eastern spot.
That's right.
Which is the cable sweet spot, apparently. But after watching this thing, all 6 hours of it, I now know why they didn't do that. Because it was a snooze. Boring. Oh my God, The Prisoner was boring. It was boring, and I'll say at the end, kind of a huge cop-out.
Really?
Yeah. Which,
How so?
Well, I don't know if I want to get into it, but here they are. Spoilers. You can turn off your radio now if you're wanting to hear the end of the... not wanting to hear the end of The Prisoner. Or wanting to keep its secret safe.
Ooh.
And so The Prisoner begins, and Jim Caviezel, who, by the way, would have made an awesome Superman.
Yes.
I know he was Jesus, and yes, I know the very last Superman movie had a lot of that, like, you know, Jesus parallels in it, but I'm just saying that would have been an easier transition.
Actually, you know what? Jim Caviezel would make an awesome working actor. Why doesn't he work more?
He's a little stiff.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
I mean, it worked so well in The Thin Red Line. Because he was like just whispering about poetry the entire time or something like that.
And he was good in those two golf movies he did.
What was the other one? I know there was like the Bobby Andrews story.
Bobby Jones story. And then there was the one. Man, I'm drawing a blank today. There was another
Happy
one.
Happy Gilmore? That was Adam Sandler.
No, The Legend of Bagger Vance.
That was...
he was Charlize Theron.
Yeah, there you go. He did a really good job of Charlize Theron.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah. I never saw Passion of the Christ, by the way.
No, that's homework now.
Yeah. I really don't want to see Jim Caviezel get the... blood beaten out of him for what, 3 hours?
Yeah, I mean, if I'm going to see violence, I kind of want to have fun with it. Is that
I kind of want some
say?
Sex in it. Is that all right? Is that healthy?
Yeah.
I was like, AR-rated movies. Like, what's movie rated R? I was like, what do you get to see in it? Yeah, like, what do you mean? Like, what part of the lady? Like, what?
Yeah. You have violence, you need sex. A spoonful of sugar, like the song says.
Oh, Mary Poppins is rolling over in her grave. Grave. It's anyway, we're getting way off track. So Jim Caviezel's on this. He wakes up on like this this land, and everyone has a number. And he's like, where am I? And they're like, you're in the village, because that's the only place there is on Earth. And he's like, no, there's other places. And they go, what are you talking about? It's just the village. And Ian McKellen, excuse me, cough, cough, Sir Ian McKellen, plays like the, what's the word here? Dashing leader of the village?
Charismatic,
yes, thank you. He's like village president. And so nobody else seems to remember their past lives or why they're all called numbers. And, you know, it's kind of like lost in their the fact that they're on this place, which, you know, it's mysterious and all these crazy things are happening. Flash forward 6 hours later, it's all someone's dream.
What? Okay, that's fine. I have no further questions.
Yeah. And then they really, it's like...
whose dream was it, though?
Some old ladies.
Oh, not even related to
Ian
the show?
Ian McKellen's wife, I guess. And then they kill her in the dream, but then someone else starts dreaming for them. It doesn't make sense.
Whoa, maybe it makes total sense. Maybe that's like
no,
life.
No, it just does not make sense, and it's pretty crummy, actually. Pretty bad, which the AMC executives must have been like, oh, man, Jim Caviezel... Ian McKellen, this thing's gonna rip roar. And then they like watch the 6 hours of them, like, what have we done? We have sunk so much money into this, and it is a complete and total snooze. 5 O's, 6 Z's, snooze.
Yeah, see, because the funny thing about that is you'd mentioned it earlier, and I was like, well, you know, The Prisoner is like, it's a cult classic. Like, it has a loyal following. But then I remembered, wait a second, that was like from 40 years ago, back when like this sort of story, I don't know, not to make people back then sound dumb. But it's old hat for us now. Like we've seen a lot of like, even if you want to say Prisoner knockoffs, where it's like, oh, it's a dream or there's a mystery and stuff like that. We've seen that so much where, like, if you want to reintroduce the Prisoner to us, it's weird and old.
You know, I wonder how when Dallas did their switch, because, of course, there was a storyline in Dallas where they killed off TV's Patrick Duffy. Was that the name right?
Yes, yeah. That's right.
He played
Bobby Ewing.
Bobby Ewing. He died because he wanted to leave the show. And then later on, they're like, oh, wait, that was a horrible, horrible mistake. And so this one lady wakes up and Bobby Ewing's next to her and he goes, what happened in season 13? And she goes, season 13 was entirely a dream. Moving on. I wonder what Dallas fans first thought. I mean, because I know people, I know based on like, oh, this is stupid, or like, oh, I'm glad he's back in the show. But I wonder if people were like, whoa, what? Like if anyone actually had their minds blown.
That'd have been like, awesome.
Oh, so awesome. K-O-O-P, you are on the air.
Hi, I just wanted to chat about The Prisoner.
Yes, please do. What's your name, caller?
My name's Mark.
Mark, what do you have to say?
Well, I watched the first 4 hours of The Prisoner, and I'm a big fan of the original Prisoner, and I gotta say, the darn show did not made less sense than the original.
Let me ask you this. So I'm not familiar with the original at all. How did that show end? Like, what was the diabolical secret?
The diabolic secret was that Number six was actually number one. He was his own prisoner. He was his own captor.
Okay.
How did he figure that out?
He got back with Leon McKern, number two, and they had a big 2-hour winner-take-all psychological battle.
Oh, that sounds entertaining, question mark.
He sees the whole village ruling council, and they're wearing monkey masks. And he gets number one, rips off the mask. It was himself.
Wah, wah, wah.
At that point, the only choices were him or the butler. They were the only people that were in every show. 16 of them there were.
Oh, okay.
And so in the end, he finds a tunnel that goes back to England, and he drives off, but he hasn't escaped because he's still his own captor.
Well, that doesn't sound too terribly satisfying, but I have to say it sounds a lot better than what happened, the 6 hours I just watched.
Yes, and the original Prisoner was the star of the show Secret Agent.
Okay.
From the song Secret Agent Man.
Ah, okay.
So one could imagine that the Secret Agent quit his job and then gets taken away to the village.
Oh, now you're getting
Although
meta.
They never said his name.
So were you alive when the show was on, or did you just see it after the fact?
I think it came on in the 60s mm-hmm. when I was too young to watch it. It ran on PBS in the early 70s.
Oh, okay.
And the music was great. The psychological battles were great. The architecture was great. They had a new number two every week. And it was generally very interesting.
Okay.
All right, but the new one, Snooze Fest, huh?
It made less sense. It was interesting, but really, how can they say that there's no other place exists when they have manufactured goods?
See, you know what? I was going to say that, like, just by Mac's description, because he was like, he wakes up and they refer to it as the village, but they also refer to it as the only place on Earth. Why didn't they just call it all the village and not refer to Earth?
Like, they had Latin names for stuff, and I wonder if somebody was like, why are we using these names? What's Latin? And then somebody would have been like, village, village. And then like, look over there or something. I don't know. Didn't seem to add up.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, they also had a comic book version in the mid-90s, which made even, and my friend asked me if it made any sense. And I believe it was written by the guy. But it made less sense
Number
than
six?
The original show.
Hmm.
So without the main star who wrote the thing, it didn't. It just didn't hold together.
Wow, this sounds like a real killer franchise.
I'm glad they built on it.
Well, thanks for calling in.
Yeah,
thanks,
I just want to say everybody, my brothers and I all own copies of the original. We like it that much.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Well, thank you so much. Your show generally annoys me when I'm driving around until I figured out that your callers are
Boop, gotta go.
Thank you for that, though.
Yep. We got cut off there. That was...
I drove into a...
Must have drove into a tunnel.
A ravine.
Yep. Although it's nice to know that our show generally annoys people.
Yeah.
Who talk to us for 20 minutes.
That's going on the ad. Put one out in Variety. Generally annoying.
We need one of those things to start the show where it's just a bunch of like clips.
Yeah.
Like, you're listening to Fox Sports. And like Stewie would be like, oh, Brian, you know, and then like something, you know, like, you know, where it's like, like, how's it going? I'm kind of a big deal. And then like, Fox Sports.
Yeah. So yeah. We need like a bumper.
Yeah. We need one of those. And it'll be like, time for the Mascot Wedding Show. Your show's generally annoying. Mascot Wedding. Something like that. We'll tell you what. We need to take a break.
Let's take one. You've been listening to Prisoner Talk here on Co-op.
All right. I promise now that when we come back, we will no longer talk about the prisoners or take calls on it.
Because so, we're not the prisoners.
Yes,
what?
There you go.
All right, we're done with that.
That is great. So we can get back to interesting radio. Royal Bangs, My Car is Haunted off of Let It Bleep. More Mascot Wedding Show after this.
Back again with more Mascot Wedding Show. My name is David.
My name is Mac. That was the Royal Bangs with My Car is Haunted off of Let It Bleep, which has got a really cool looking cover, even though it, when you see it, it's like this gorilla sort of made out of like prisms. Mm-hmm. And if you look at it, you might be like, whoa, wait a second. Is this prog rock? But no, it is not progressive rock. Do not worry about it.
So you know what? You're ahead of me because I saw it and it looked like a fancy backsplash for a kitchen.
Oh, either one. There you go.
Yeah, because I watch a lot of HGTV.
Human garbage television?
Bah!
Oh, David Hutter, what's in the news?
What is in the news? Yeah, I want to tell you guys a story.
Stories, yeah!
Yeah.
We clap it up for stories here in the Mascot Wedding Show.
472-5667 is the number. Listener Jake tipped me off to something that was happening this week, something that he found silly and I found equally silly. Mac, are you familiar with like shirt rallies?
Yes. And you're talking about sports?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, teams will sometimes encourage their fans to wear a certain color
mm-hmm.
to either show, like, you know, or just team unity or for a certain cause. Or
intimidation,
kind of,
you know, purposes. Yeah. Like, oh, it's a blackout, you know, so everybody wears black or something.
The Miami Heat one time made everyone wear white because it was like white hot heat, which was kind of weird.
That's the laziest thing ever.
Yeah.
We saved 12 cents per shirt.
Like, you know, the Chicago Bulls, like, red alert. Everyone wear red.
Yeah. Oh, the Texans did that once. Like, battle red. As the
battle team. Red. You know what, though? You put battle in front of anything, I'm going to go for it. Like, hey, got a new kind of hot dog. Oh, yeah? Called a battle dog. I'm like, let's do it.
You want to hear something weird?
Yeah.
I was just thinking of hot dogs as an example.
Nice.
Yeah.
Boom. We just pounded on that.
Now
and there's another shot you have to take for the boom drinking game.
Yeah, but you know, as you alluded to, some charitable causes will take this up also.
Yeah,
and so you know, like wear yellow in support of you know Live Strong, that sort of thing. Well, a lot of sporting events have taken to pink outs, where they'll encourage people to wear all pink to their sporting events in support of breast cancer research.
Yeah, in fact, the NFL this season is incorporated the color pink into a lot of like. You know, like accents on uniforms.
Like their gloves and stuff.
Their,
and like
shoes.
Their shoes.
Yeah.
And
I've seen
that was
a lot
kinda
of
cool.
Coaches with like the Green Bay Packers had like the green hat, but the brim was pink.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And listener Jake pointed out that A&M, Texas A&M, the Fighting Texas Aggies, was going to try to do this week.
Have a pink out?
Have a pink out against okay. Baylor. But
those Baylor Bears.
But he didn't point it out from the point of view that... Hey, this is an awesome thing that A&M is doing. He said, hey, check out this Facebook group titled, oh, crap, I lost the title. But, yeah, it was this Facebook group started to discourage people from pinking out at the Baylor game.
So this is a group started by A&M students?
Yes. It was a boycott of the pink out. And, you know, the guy who started the group, he makes some points, not terrible points, but like, stop trying to copy the RWB out, which was the red, white, and blue out in support of the troops. Everybody wore red.
All right.
Everybody wore red, white, and blue.
Yeah.
You know, the pink out idea was not put together. This was started like a month ago. Apparently, as this guy started this group, shirts hadn't been printed or distributed. So he just thought, you know, it's going to end up being like a couple hundred pink shirts in a sea of maroon. But like his biggest like blocks of text... in his Facebook group, have to do with exactly what you think they would have to do with. Basically, nobody wants to wear pink shirts at A&M. They would look, you know, silly, but not the word silly.
Silly was in quotes.
Yeah. So he's like, if you really want to show breast cancer that we mean business, make a maroon shirt. We love wearing maroon shirts. And it's like, well, you kind of missed the point. Like, pink shows solidarity. We're not catering to you on this one. But then his
you know, I'm not 100% sold that if everyone wore pink, that would somehow help.
No.
Cancer get cured faster. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, the intentions are nothing but good.
Yeah, exactly.
What's your problem with that, jerk?
Yeah, it's sort of like hippie logic where it's like, hey, man, if we all bond together, then we can make a difference. Like, no, I'm just, it's a costume choice. Like, I'm just, my shirt's not going to do anything. But, you know, it shows that everybody's on the same wave, like a show of solidarity. But, like, and I wish he had done this in order of importance because there's one block of text that basically, here we go. It's a.
This is text from.
His Facebook, like, you know, the About Me section of his Facebook group.
This is the Facebook group that went boycotting the A&M Pink Out.
Boycotting the A&M Pink Out. He says, there are many different cancers and diseases out there worth gaining awareness for. So why just breast cancer? Breast cancer is the most funded type of cancer. It is per new case. Oh, okay. Type of cancer there is per new case. Compare this with colon cancer, which kills more people per year, yet is the least funded type of cancer per new case. Fine. Valid point. But don't pit cancers against each other. Everyone is aware of breast cancer. If they aren't, pink shirts aren't going to help. Like, you're kind of devaluing breast cancer by saying, you know what? Don't kill that many people, all right?
You know, I don't really think these nonprofit organizations like the Live Strong Foundation, if they found out, they're like, come on, let's do a yellow ad. And like, oh, we're going to do a pink ad. If they're like, damn you, breast cancer.
Those SOBs.
Those SOBs and the Susan G. Komen Foundation. That was Live Strong's day.
Well played, Komen. Well played.
You won this round, Susan. Oh, wait, what? Oh, my God. I'm so sorry. Yeah, I don't think that's happening.
No, of course not. There's no competition here. It's just all support. And I want to stress that I'm not bringing this up from a, hey, isn't A&M stupid point of view. I'm bringing this up from, hey, isn't this stupid? Like, just the fact that people would rally against this thing that the intentions are good.
You know what, though? Come on. We all know what's up.
Yeah.
Texas A&M needs to chill out with that stuff.
Yeah.
They really need to relax.
Just stop. Wear some pink. It'll do you some good.
Next thing you know, I can't draw a picture of rivalry. I'm going to say.
Oh, reveille.
Reveille. Thank you.
I was like, what are you? Okay.
Next thing I know, I can't draw a picture of revelry.
Reveille.
Reveille. I'm this close to swearing. This isn't helping.
That damn dog is on my
tongue.
Here,
say it slow because my mouth isn't wanting to do this.
Reveille.
Reveille. Thank you. Next thing I know, I can't draw a picture of reveille. And then without somebody giving me a death threat.
Yeah, exactly. So I was reading the responses on the Facebook group, seeing how many people had joined. 451 guests to this event as of 3 o'clock this afternoon.
Not that many.
No, not that
Facebook
many.
By standards.
But in the comments section, there was a link to another group, which has 105 guests. And this group was started as a response. And I can't tell if it was tongue-in-cheek or if it was, I don't know. I don't know what it was. Basically, this guy wants to start a brownout at the A&M Texas basketball game coming up this season. The brownout is in support of prostate cancer research.
Brownout, prostate, whoa.
Yeah, and lest you think they're not making the connection and it's just a weird coincidence, on the back of the shirt is a picture of Mr. Hankey from South Park.
Yeah, that's totally tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah, and even in well...
or if it's not tongue-in-cheek, it's for giggles.
Yeah, and they even mention, like, in their little about page, their section, they say, hey, you know what? Let's get some prostate exams set up at the arena. We'll have a doctor standing by. He'll give you a free prostate exam right there. So, yeah, that's obviously where it tips off.
That's not going to happen.
But still, like, you want to respond to this thoughtful gesture, you know, against cancer, you know, pro-cancer research with, like, some joke? Like, I don't know. It was just weird to me. It struck me as weird.
Man, when did these kids at Texas A&M get so funny? That's what I want to know.
But
oh, my God, hilarious.
Here's where it gets great, though.
Yeah.
Actually, well, it gets greater. There's two levels of great left. But one is I turned on my TV at 2:30 this afternoon just to see how the turnout would be. Would there just be little, you know, pink shirts or whatever?
Oh, you actually watched the Texas A&M Baylor game?
No, I did not.
What?
Because it wasn't televised.
Oh.
Why were they doing that? It wasn't even regionally televised. They did not send a camera crew to this game at all to record this game. So why are they making this grand, bold, sweeping gesture of a pink out? Why do it when there's no camera crews around? So that was funny number one.
Uh-huh.
Funny number two is I went on SI.com to see if I could read up on it. Like, you know, see if they mention it at all in the game recap. And then I came across this. Dateline Oxford, Mississippi. Small group of Klan members rally before Ole Miss LSU game. So what happens is,
wow.
Yeah, Ole Miss likes to play a song. I believe it's their, you know, their fight song or whatever, from Dixie with Love. And what the students like to do is after the song, after it ends, they'll shout, "The South shall rise again." And so
nice of Mississippi to root for the entire southern region of the United States like that.
Yeah, you don't speak for us, smellies.
Oh, I don't consider myself the South, but go ahead.
Yeah, so like the dean of students said, "Hey, why don't you guys stop it? If you don't stop it, we're taking the song away."
How are they going to do that? That's some prisoner-like stuff right there. We'll erase this song from history.
Yeah, like the dean of students would like slap like sousaphones out of people's hands or something. I don't know. So the Klan got involved, and I just thought that was great. Like
those scientists said we could only use a time machine once, and I'll use it to kill the guy that wrote that song.
Like doing the research for this Pink Out and then the Pink Out boycott, like, ended up being like the Fargo of research. Like my end looked nothing like the beginning.
So why did the Klan rally? To support the singing of this song?
To support not only the singing of the song, but support the students' right to shout "The South shall rise again."
Wow, were there any students that were like, "Oh, okay, whoa."
You know what? Maybe we will drop it. We'll volunteer this one.
Yeah, you know what?
Sorry about that.
Let's say I was going to go to Luby's, uh-huh, and they were going to drop my favorite buffet menu item, chopped steak.
Yeah.
And I was like, "Man, this stinks, Luby's. You got to put this back on the menu. I'm going to protest." And then like the Klan was like, "Yeah, put that back on the menu." I'd be like, "You know what? Drop it. Just drop it off the menu."
I didn't realize. My apologies.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sorry. I will personally burn the remaining chopped steaks.
Yeah, so like the news item even mentions, like, you know, the members of the Mississippi White Knights of the Ku Klux Klan spent about 10 minutes waving flags, displaying Nazi-style salutes, and occasionally gesturing at a group of about 250 hecklers that included young children. You know what? Maybe find another song.
You know what? Look, I'm not going to pretend to sit here. You know what? Let me rephrase that.
Go for it.
There's really no point in being, "What's the deal with these white supremacist people?" Because clearly it's stupid.
We all get the deal by now.
Yeah. But I don't know how you make that leap from, "Oh man, we lost the Civil War," to Nazism.
Yeah, exactly.
How did that happen? How do you go from like, you know,
states' rights and blonde hair and blue eyes.
Yeah.
While we're at it.
"I believe this race is inferior to, I believe other races are inferior and I want to murder people."
Yeah.
That's disgusting.
Yeah. Nice leap there. But, yeah.
You know what? And now talking about that is now too heavy for this show.
Yeah.
Because we like to avoid real life scum like that.
Well, then we should hold some sort of shirt rally.
Yes.
Anti-scum.
Oh, buddy. Man alive. Yeah. I consider Texas the Southwest.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. In part just to completely
distance myself. We were our own country, all right? Scoreboard, we win.
Yeah, take that. Take that, New York. Oh. That's right, California. Do you have a Six Flags? I bet you do, but it's not the... No.
Oh, you got your Knott's Berry Farm?
Yeah.
Have fun with Snoopy, losers.
That's right. Oh, man, I would have fun with Snoopy.
Oh, dude, he'd be the best.
Go flying in his magic doghouse.
What?
Kill the Red Baron. There's some comedian around town, by the way, who has this joke about Red Baron pizza.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, "So yeah, there's this pizza called Red Baron pizza. I don't get why you'd want to have a Nazi sell you pizza." And I feel like raising my hand every time he does it. Excuse me, so the Red, that was World War One.
Yeah.
That was before
and actually it was
Nazism. Yeah. That was just Germany. Mm-hmm. But please, your joke is hilarious.
Yeah. You're right. I'm a Totino's man anyway.
Exactly, yes. I wouldn't have laughed if you had gotten it accurate, because I would have been like, "Why are you wasting your time with Red Baron? We all know Tombstone is the superior pizza."
What? Oh, Pizza Wars.
Pizza Wars. If there was a show on co-op called Pizza Wars, I'd be its biggest fan.
If there was a show on anywhere called Pizza Wars, I'd even go to...
You say that, but the next thing you know, like, the Food Network, Pizza Wars.
Yeah.
And they're going to get some greased up douchebag in a bowling shirt with like spiked hair and a soul patch being like, "Yo, my name is Rick Tortillo. And we're going to the Pizza Wars!" And like, you know,
"Let's go to the Pizza Dome!"
Yeah.
Like this like octagon with fencing around it.
By the way, I lose points in this. The best fake name I could come up with, Tortillo.
Guy Tortillo. You know what? That was the best fake name anyone could ever come up with.
I was trying to come up with a Guy Ferrari.
Because he works for the Food Network.
Anagram, but Rick Tortillo. That's pretty bad.
A Tortillo.
Yeah. If anyone says, Mac, you're quick on your feet. No, I am not. I'm clearly not.
Let's mark the tape on 1121 and I'll show you differently.
Oh, let's take a break and get off this stupid hate speech topic. This is going great.
Yay,
What are we going to hear, buddy?
Mystery Girls, From There. God, I need to do this differently. From Their Something in the Water album, My Bed, Her Home, More Mask, Wedding Show after this.
I heard a rumor that David wants to dedicate this to a mystery girl out there.
Sure, why not?
Mascot Wedding Show back on the air. That was the Mystery Girls with My Bed, Her Home off of their album Something in the Water. And we got a phone call. KOOP, you're on the air.
Hey, is this the radio station?
Yes, it is. And you're on the air, sir?
Yeah, hey, there's some loser talking on the radio right now, and I want to talk to him.
if you mean the if you mean the host of the show, you're talking to him. You're on the air. You know, for the third time, I'll say it.
Oh, is this the guy on the air?
Let me go at this another way. Hello, caller. My name is Mac. I am the host of the show on the radio. Right now, you and I are talking on the air.
Oh, okay.
So what do you want to
talk
about?
I want to
talk
to you.
About what?
I want to talk about those stupid pink shirts you're so in love with.
Oh, I see. So you don't like the... You also don't like the idea of wearing pink shirts.
No.
Are you an A&M student?
No.
Were you ever an A&M student?
No.
So if you never went to A&M, why do you care?
You don't know who this is, do you?
No, actually I don't. You didn't tell me your name.
I guess you don't watch News 17 like at all. I'm on there all the time.
Is this Roger Wodehouse?
No, I don't work for News 17. I'm on it all the time.
Oh, then I have no idea who this is.
I'm Tyler Huffman.
All right, I'm sorry, but I have no idea what that's supposed to mean.
I'm the student government president at Valley Tech.
Oh, you're that rival school over in Flat Valley.
Wait a second, rival school? Don't tell me you're one of those fork and knifers from Sunken Valley College.
No, I went to the University of Texas, but I live in Sunken Valley now, so I kind of adopted SVC as, you know, like the team that I root for.
Okay, I guess it makes sense that I'm talking to a Dirtwater fan.
Dirtwater, that's a cute little name. He came up for SVC people.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right, because the mascot is the Raging Flood.
When you're really just a bunch of Dirtwater.
Yeah, you know, I guess that mascot is pretty stupid. I'll give you that.
Pretty very stupid.
Yeah. So hey, listen, how are the South Dandies doing this season?
We're the Roaring Lions.
No, you're not. Just because your mascot is Dandy the Lion does not make you the Lions. If you're from Sunken Valley Tech, you're the Valley Tech Southern Dandies, and you always will be.
Whatever, loser.
Look, why are you even calling? You know, we got off track here. So you're the student government president for Valley Tech, right?
Yeah, Valley Tech, that's right. But I guess you never heard of me because you don't watch TV.
No, I've never heard of you because you're the student government president for Valley Tech. Who cares?
You probably think you're too good for TV. You probably read books.
Yeah, so?
Typical fork and knifer.
That's the thing that really gets me about the Dandies, you know? Like, you guys are so proud of being low class.
We're blue collar.
Oh, right. Yeah, and we're so white collar that we eat with a fork and a knife.
We eat with our hands, Dirtwater.
Fine. You know, I eat with my hands, and I also watch TV.
Oh.
If you want to hang on to those things as some sort of identity, then go ahead. Still there, Tyler?
Dirtwater.
All right. Well, this conversation seems to exhausted all of its merit. Unless you have something to contribute to the show, I'm going to say goodbye.
Yeah. No, I want to talk about the stupid pink shirt idea.
All right. So what? Well, you hate wearing pink or something?
See, here's what you don't get. You think that just because I hate the pink shirts or other people hate the pink shirts is because pink is a girl's color.
Okay. Well, that's how it seems to me. You know, I see no other reason why someone would refuse to wear a shirt if its only goal was to, you know, raise awareness for a good cause.
No, look, the cause isn't the problem. The shirt is the problem. Look, I'm a business major, so I know a little about business, about running a business, about about running a successful business, about succeeding at business, all that stuff.
Yeah, all right.
And the first rule of business is you don't sell your customers something that's going to get them attacked.
Get them attacked? Like,
yeah.
Like insulted? You think people are going to insult you just because you're wearing a pink shirt? That's a high risk?
No, I mean like physically.
Oh, so you're afraid some meathead from Flat Valley is going to like beat you up for wearing a pink shirt?
No.
You don't think we're all a little old for that?
No, I mean attacked, you know, the other way.
I don't get it. If you don't mean verbally and you don't mean physically, then I really don't catch what you're getting at.
Sexually
attacked for wearing pink.
Yeah.
And who would be doing the attacking?
You know, people who really like the color pink.
So these people.
Yeah, you know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, you know what? That's enough. Look, I see where you're going, and that's one of the most ignorant things I've ever heard on the show, and that's saying a lot.
Look, I'm just saying, all right, these things have a way of getting misunderstood. And the first rule of business is to deliver a clear message to your customers.
But everyone knows what the pink shirts mean by now, you know? Everyone knows what the red ribbons mean by now. Everyone knows what the yellow wristbands mean by now. By boycotting those things, you just end up looking like you're against the things they stand for.
Yeah, but those are all established causes. What about people trying to start new causes with new colors, you know? What happens to them? First rule of business is to innovate and do something no one else is doing. Get it?
Okay, I don't think so.
Look, loser, I'm just saying. The message is going to get lost or misunderstood. Maybe pink shirts or red shirts or white shirts or anything like that is a bad idea.
All right, you're losing me here. So what you're saying is now it's the concept of wearing shirts that you have a problem with? Like wearing colored shirts at all?
Exactly, the stupid shirt route.
Okay, but Tyler, wait a second.
What?
Tyler Huffman?
Yeah.
I get it now. Okay, all right.
What did you get?
You're the kid from Valley Tech. All right, yeah, now I know why you hate the idea of shirt rallies so much.
Yeah, because they're stupid.
No, because you just got in trouble the other day for your stupid idea.
I didn't get in trouble. My idea failed. The first rule of business is to embrace failure.
That's not a rule. You just made that up. But going back to your stupid idea, why don't you tell the folks who are listening who don't know what happened? Why don't you clue them in?
Fine, loser. I'll tell them.
All right. Thanks, I guess.
So at Valley Tech, I'm a part of a group called The Pride. We're trying to lobby to get the name of this, the mascot changed to the Roaring Lions, okay?
Okay.
Well, we got another group who wants to keep the heritage and tradition of the school, so we decided to call ourselves the Southern Roaring Lions. We changed the name of our group to the Southern Pride, okay?
I don't agree with that, but yes, that is accurate.
All right. So we decided to hold a whiteout at the Valley Tech Sunken Valley Baptist game the other day. So all of our group and everybody we can get, they decided to wear white. Okay.
Yes, I know this. All right.
We were carrying around a big logo like on a wooden stick, like the V and the T for Valley Tech.
The V and the T. Giant. So there's like a giant V and a giant T, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that was the best idea Southern Pride came up with. So we were walking down the street on the way to the game, and we kind of got the big logo caught the power lines. And the V fell off.
Yeah. And then what happened to the T?
It caught on fire.
That's right.
Yeah.
And was this a lowercase T?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so what did that end up looking like, buddy?
Looking like a T on fire.
Yeah, like a burning cross.
That's not accurate.
And what color were you wearing?
It was a whiteout,
all
right?
So, yeah. So a bunch of guys wearing all white. Carrying a flaming lowercase T, and I believe you've been suspended. Isn't that correct?
Been expelled.
Expelled. There you go.
But I'm still acting president.
I don't think you are anymore. I think you kind of have to go to a school.
Until they vote me out.
To be, well, that's, when is that going to happen?
Monday.
Imminently, probably. Yes, there you go.
So, what's the problem with it? First rule of business is to start over again.
Oh, you know what? You've mentioned the first rule of business about 5 times.
Yeah.
Were your grades any good?
I don't know. You tell me.
Why would I know?
Look, you want to go?
Go where?
You know, you and me. Like, cuff, son.
Yeah, I don't. You know what? Yeah, actually, I do. You want to come?
Come find me. Come find me.
No, you come find me.
Oh, no. Come on down to Flat Valley. I'm easy to find.
Oh, yeah? Why are you so easy to find? Because you're carrying a flaming cross? What?
What?
Yeah, you heard me.
You're dead.
Yeah.
So dead.
All right. Bring it on, buddy.
All right, Dirtwater. Later.
Okay, late. I'm not saying later to you. Gah! Ugh. Once again, a fabulous way to end a radio show. Getting challenged to a fight. That is a classic mascot wedding ending. All right. It is 3 minutes till the top of the hour, which means 3 minutes till clear spot, which means we here at the Mascot Wedding Show got to get out of here. For a podcast, which I'm trying to catch up on, and archives of past shows, which is the same thing, information about side projects and night jobs, you may visit mascotwedding.com. We are going to close the show here with some Jay Riotard off of his latest album, Watch Me Fall. This is Wounded. Goodbye, David. Bye, Austin. Wait, was that right?
Yeah.
Faustin!